This hour of Overdrive is powered by Muskoka Woods. This summer, let your child experience an overnight camp like no other. Let the adventures begin at MuskokaWoods.com.
This is a very loving song. This song is exactly what you think of on Valentine's Day.
For single gentlemen.
Yeah. If you're at certain establishments, that way.
This is a Peeler national anthem.
This actually is. Girls, Girls, Girls by Motley Crue.
It's the Peeler national anthem.
Like, do people stand and salute in the strip club when this comes on?
Hand on the heart. And pay your respects.
What a track for Valentine's Day.
Hats off, on the chest.
Yeah.
And be respectful.
Like, what time would this play? Like 7 o'clock?
Oh,
right?
No, this is a midnight track.
Every
this
shift is... change. Every shift change. You pay respect.
What a track.
What is the shift
And the
change?
Most celebrated shift change is the afternoon. When it goes into evening and there is a shift change and the A squad comes aboard, you take your hat off and pay respects. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Happy Valentine's Day from everyone here at Overdrive.
And you touch your heart while that anthem is playing and you pay tribute to
what
the fallen soldiers.
What a track. What a track to set the mood on Friday afternoon here in beautiful Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Minus 20. How cold is it?
It's that time of year where I'm like, I love Canada, I love Toronto, I love everything. But then you get a day like today, you're like, that's it. I've had enough. You've done it too long. Although, you got to admit, it's been a mild winter.
It's actually been a great
winter.
It's
been a joke, like not a problem. It's been great up in Collingwood as far as snow and that stuff. But as far as like being just a brutal winter, it hasn't been that. But it's just, this day will get you. It's like minus 20-something. You're like, enough.
Yeah, these are the kind of days where you realize why, like, Florida would exist, and the Caribbean, and...
I'll give you a prime example. So I called the Ottawa-Arizona game last night, and I go to have a beer with Tyson Nash last night after the game. He's got no coat. He went on the road trip with no overcoat.
Of course.
It's minus 30 in Ottawa last night with the wind chill coming out.
And that rink is in the middle of nowhere. The wind is crazy.
I go... I don't have Rockstar parking. I got to park a block away across the road.
From the rink?
Yeah, we don't have access to park right there. Like, we got to park in, like, the media parking, which is across the road.
We parked there. Remember when Matthew scored 4?
Yeah, we were over there. So I'm like, you stay here because you will die. He had no coat.
Yeah.
Just his alligator thick skin.
Well, and he's an Alberta guy, right? Like, he's from Edmonton, so...
But he's been living in
Arizona.
That's
the problem. 20 years ago, he would have made that walk and been like, I'm fine.
Yeah, with his shirt off. Yeah. This one...
Now
I'm
you're
like,
in
you
Arizona.
Stay here. I'm bringing the car around. And I did that walk, and I had a toque on, and the TSN, whatever this coat is, this Nobis, like, it's a really good coat.
Yeah.
And I was still freezing my ass
off. So cold.
And it was cold this today when I landed, too.
Well, yesterday was weird. Like, I dropped my daughter off at school yesterday. It was beautiful. It was, like, 2 degrees out, like, which isn't actually beautiful, but Canadian winter beautiful. 2 degrees sunny, like, perfect.
Yeah.
And 24 hours later, it felt like minus 35.
Yeah.
Like, how is that possible?
It's just that cold front just comes right through and just dips in. Like, that's it. It's done. Now, how long is this supposed to last, this cold spell?
I think by the end of the weekend, even by tomorrow, it's supposed to be back to kind of seasonal. I don't know.
This was ridiculous. Like, that hits you in the face. That's like a punch in the face.
Well, it made me think of the NBA All-Star game here 4 years ago. Remember when the All-Star game was in Toronto in 16?
By the way, dude, it's no picnic in Chicago right now.
No, it's just as cold in Chicago. But it was this weather for 3 days straight.
Worse.
It was as cold as I've ever experienced.
And you wonder why guys get...
And that's the thing. And it happened again. Like, if we were hosting this year, it'd be happening right here in Toronto. Everyone would be flying in, and they'd be like, it's minus 35 out right now. Yeah. And you're right. It's the same in Chicago.
Yeah.
It'd be the same in Detroit, same in Minnesota.
Northern, yeah, exactly. Like,
wherever.
Northern borders,
but
or northern
we get hit case. With it because it's Canada. It's as if it's, you know, minus 30 here is different than minus 30 in Chicago.
Yeah, exactly.
For whatever reason. But, yeah, the All-Star game going on, and we'll touch on that a little bit later in the hour. The Battle of Ontario tomorrow night, Connor Brown is going to join us at 425. We haven't caught up with Connor Brown.
He's having a really good season there. Like, he's been... you know, very consistent. He's one of their leaders. You know, he's a guy that has flourished in the trade, even though, you know, the team is in a rebuild. He's in a real nice spot there. He's a good player. We all liked him. And
yeah, he was. I mean, he was.
That's a casualty of cap. That's
exactly.
Not, you want him on. Like, how would Connor Brown look right now playing
for
the Leafs?
Well, they could really
they
use
could
him.
They could use him.
They could really use him with Johnsson now out for basically the rest of the year. It never felt like he even had a season.
Yeah.
Like, Andreas Johnsson never made a big mark on the season, never made a huge impact.
Wiped out.
He was just okay, and he had injury problems, and he just couldn't get going, and now he's done.
Yeah.
And I guess he could return in the playoffs. They got to get there first.
Yeah.
But that is a that's a casualty right there. Mikheyev's been out for quite some time. They really need Mikheyev to return now, I would say.
Right.
To try to fill in that role on maybe the third line, but I don't know what you can expect out of him when he comes back.
That's where maybe Kyle Snoop, you know, fishes around at the deadline for a player, a rental like that that adds depth to your organization, but in the event that you run into these injury issues, a guy who can play in your top nine, there's a lot of those guys available. Like, I don't know if, and again, because I cover Ottawa, but a guy like Tyler Ennis would draw some interest from a lot of teams, right? Ennis is having a really nice season. He's on a cost value contract. It's probably not going to cost you much to
wouldn't
rent
have
from
to pay much for.
But he's a veteran guy that you can plug in and can play top 9 minutes. And, you know, that's if in the absence of a guy like Johnsson and with Connor Brown having to be, you know, traded, that type of stuff, those are the guys who are going to be valuable for Kyle and other teams that are heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, there's I mean, we're in a race here where you look at Toronto and Florida. Florida got smoked again last night.
Florida's trying to give it to them.
They're literally trying. Like,
they've only won one game in the last couple of weeks, and that's against Toronto.
Yeah, and Jersey the night before, two nights ago. But outside of that, you're right.
It just seems like they're like, okay, go ahead. You want to take it, take it. And they're not taking it.
But the Leafs are doing the same thing.
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
The Leafs are 6-6-3 in the last 15. Florida's 8-6-1. It's like both teams are like, I don't want to go to the playoffs. Like, if you want that spot, you take it. Including during that game where the Leafs were clearly the better team, and then in the third, the Leafs just said, wait a minute, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, we don't want the
That's
two
kind
points.
Of a tale of both of
go,
their
go
seasons,
take
that
Florida.
Game. You circle that game and go, Florida's out to lunch defensively, and then the Leafs were out to lunch defensively. And last night I was tracking, I'm sure you guys were too, the Florida game. Like Bobrovsky's been really good at times, but he was terrible.
Brutal
last night. All three goals on him in the first period.
He is a major disappointment. You look at the body of work through the year. I know this is an adjustment period. I know you got different defensemen, but you think about going out and spending 10 sheets on a goalie, and you're getting that.
Well,
any kind of goaltending, and Bobby Mack said it yesterday. You look at a coach that's kind of under stress. Look at their goalie save percentage, and you'll find a direct correlation.
Well,
a direct correlation.
And our That's buddy right. got the gate today, Brucey Boudreau.
Yeah,
and Bruce that's Boudreau. They've had a direct correlation to some inconsistencies in that team. And I was thinking about this, like, there's some pretty good coaches out there.
There's a fair amount of them, and you know, Bruce Boudreau gets hired almost immediately when he does get fired.
I don't think he's getting hired in that
time.
Window.
It's too late into the season.
Yeah,
like he's not going to jump on board a team with 25 games to go. If you're in the playoffs, you probably feel pretty good about your situation, I would assume.
Right.
But when he got fired in Washington, it took him 2 days to get to Anaheim. Two days he was in Anaheim.
And it was 7 days.
Seven days between Anaheim and Minnesota. And his winning percentage would indicate that level of respect. You know, he wins. Yeah. That's what he does.
Yeah.
He has a tough time winning in the playoffs. He had trouble in Washington, trouble in Anaheim. But he will more often than not get you there, including a pretty good run in Minnesota.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's going to come down to two guys in terms of that third spot in the division. We know Boston is going to be in, Tampa's going to be in. They're going to jockey, I think, back and forth to see who's going to finish first and second in the Atlantic. But I think it's either Freddie Anderson or Sergei Bobrovsky. One of them is going to say, fine, I'll step up and take it.
Yeah, you're right.
Because it's not like Freddie's had a great year either.
No.
And Freddie last night, the third goal, no, there isn't anyone on earth that can stop that. The first one he had to have, in my opinion.
Yeah, a little squeaker five.
Yeah, got to have that. The second one's a breakaway, but clearly the book is out to go five hole on him on shootouts or on breakaways.
On moving, yeah.
And, he gave up 3 on 17 shots or whatever it was last night. And
it's funny, though. I watched the game, Brian, and I second on. I didn't think they were awful.
The Leafs?
Yeah, I didn't think they were awful.
But
at the same time,
either.
I didn't think they had a chance to win the game.
I think it was. I credit Dallas for that. I mean, they
you got to tip your cap once in a while and say. And I just hate when I hear these guys say. I think Freddie Anderson, a couple different guys said it. You know, Dallas got some talent, but they have structure and they stick to it. And all I think to myself is, why the hell don't you? Do you not? Does it not clue into you guys that you have some talent, you could score some goals? Why don't you have structure? What is it? You just want to do your own thing? You have this great idea that's going to work somehow? You don't have structure. You don't have. You don't do it. You don't commit to it. So. It pisses me off when I hear, yeah, they got structure. They're really committed. They say it when St. Louis is in town. They say it when a good whatever. But why don't you? How come nobody says it about you?
Don't you
think it would clue into some of these guys that maybe we need to do it? I don't know.
I think so. I actually thought.
What are you waiting for?
More of a damning is the wrong word. I thought the bigger comment that really stuck out for me was Matthew's comment about Clifford. Yeah, we haven't had that, you know, like that game, that changed the game, and, you know, guy with bite, and we haven't had that in a while, and, you know, it was, well, they had that in Kadri. Kadri had bite, you know, like.
Yeah, but that was perfectly executed by Kyle Clifford. That's exactly the response. They were a little bit flat. They got down. He went out there. He said, we're going to go, Alexia, give me one. And they did it. And after that, they responded. They got a power play. They got a goal after that. And it was like, okay, that is, I tweeted it out. That's exactly why Kyle Clifford did that. That's the response he wanted. But this still just at the end of the day, it just wasn't enough, and it wasn't enough to get the job done.
Yeah, I thought.
I don't think enough guys played well either. I was like, Mauston Matthews is going to win this game or tie this game, or it's going to be basically.
I thought he
else.
Was outstanding
yeah.
last night.
Yeah, I think
he was good.
He's been.
He played 27 minutes, which is redonk. But the coach was basically like, I don't know who the hell else to throw out there.
No, I don't blame him. I mean, I thought that was one of the better games he's played all year. He was noticeable. Every time he was on the ice, he was pushing the puck up ice. He was confident. Thought he used his body. He got a little bit angry at times, which is also a rarity.
Right.
I loved his game last night. I've loved this game for the most part all year. I mean, there are occasional games where you're like, where is he?
Yeah, he had a stretch about halfway through where he kind of...
Yeah,
he was in no man's land, and he was disappearing in games. But other than that, it's been... 41 goal leading the NHL in scoring. He's playing good.
I went back and marked the stretch just for the dates. And it was him and Nylander. Remember him and Nylander were kind of linked. I remember you were saying like both of them kind of. And it was, I've got it in my notes here, but it was literally early December till January. Like till early January. It was about a 5-week stretch where he had like, 9 points in like 9 games, but it wasn't his dominant the goal scoring.
Right,
same
second
thing
assist,
Nylander.
Power
yeah,
plays.
It was, yeah, I've got the dates went down it because it was just over the course of the season. There's that little pocket. That's what it was.
Yeah, and he was great last night. Matthew's been very good all year.
Yeah.
The Clifford fight on Oleksiak. We haven't seen that in a long time. I'm not even sure Matt Martin did that often. I mean, he would get into a spontaneous fight. A lot of times, kind of halfway through the shift, something would happen, or if he saw something he didn't like. But that was not based on any history that I'm aware of between the two guys. It wasn't based on Oleksiak throwing a big hit that he didn't like. It was just simply two guys that are like, I'm going. Like Clifford at center ice, off a draw, I'm going to fight because the building is quiet and our team is sleepy right now. But I give credit to Dallas last night. I thought the Leafs played fine, but Dallas is one of the very few teams. They trap. They're playing a 1-4, basically, in the third period. Like, they weren't even trying. Go ahead and keep it in your own end and do your little dipsy-doodle.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
I can remember my dad commenting on the Devils my whole career playing against the Devils. He's like, you know what? They might win, but, man, that sucks to watch.
Yeah, and that's Dallas for the most part. Yeah. It is Dallas.
He goes, they can win, and they win championships, but I'm a season ticket holder. I think that's garbage to watch. I'm like, okay, Dad, but at the end of the day.
Even they admit it. I think, was it Sagan last night? I think Sagan said that. He's like, yeah, I know it can be boring. And it's not great, but we win, and we're happy when we win. And they won last night, and guess what? Yeah. They're right behind Colorado. St. Louis has come back.
Sagan scored the game winner.
Yeah, that was the first time he'd scored in a long, long time.
17 games.
But, you know, there were a lot of news and notes that came out of the game with Johnsson done for the year, the Clifford fight. But ultimately, they didn't gain any movement on Florida when Florida was at home and got smoked by Philly last night.
Yeah.
And I went back and looked at this just to try to get a read on where they're at, because we brought this up a bunch of times this week trying to define who the team is, okay. You know, what they are,
yeah.
And everyone's got a bit of a different viewpoint. I have been fairly consistent throughout the year. They have not come close to meeting my expectations. I think they're kind of a mediocre team on the upper end of mediocre. They're in that middle group that we've detailed all week. There's five, six teams at the top and seven or eight at the bottom.
And then everyone else in there.
Somewhere in the middle. And I do think the Leafs are probably on the higher end of that.
Yeah.
But I went back and looked at their best 10-game stretch of the year and their worst 10-game stretch of the year and trying to get a read on somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, find somewhere. Throw those two out and
get the best 10 out and get the worst 10 out. Their best stretch was December 14th through January 4th. They went 9-0-1. Yep. Their worst stretch was October 26th through November 16th, 3-5-2. Babcock fired right after that. 38 games in between.
Yeah.
They're 18-15-5.
18-5-5.
No. That's wrong on the screen. It's 18-15-5.
Yeah. So that's so, just above 500. You know, kind of
just
mediocre,
an okay team.
Just above
okay
just
team. And okay can get in.
Oh, yeah.
More than half the league gets in, right? Yeah, so yeah. There's gonna be a few teams.
Okay can catch lightning in a bottle as well. They can get hot goaltending, they can get timely scoring, they can flip a switch come playoff time, an okay team.
Right.
But it also okay sometimes misses a playoff, so they don't have that opportunity.
And that's what I'm saying. Like yesterday, we had when you were in here, I'm like, I think it's a coin flip if they get in right now.
That's what you said?
Yeah, I think it's a coin flip.
It is based on what we're seeing nightly because Philly gets points last night. Columbus
got a point.
They scored with a minute left in Buffalo to get, and then they lose in overtime. Like
Carolina's got Jersey tonight.
But,
they're probably going to get two points.
But that's what it is I've said this and I've been consistent. The Metro, they're getting points every night. Now they're playing each other. Like, you're looking at three teams from the Atlantic, and that's your top three spots. Well, Tampa, Boston's in. So there's one spot really between two teams now.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And, like, if it keeps going the way it's been going, you know, there's still 24 games left. You can still, it's not like the wild card races have been determined by any means.
Here's something, and I was going to ask you about this because you're always calculating stuff and that. What do you believe is a playoff spot as far as points? Is it 96 with this group out here?
I would say somewhere around there. Maybe 97.
Higher or lower. I think out west it's going to be lower. I think it may be like a 92 that gets you in because those teams are hemorrhaging points every night and losing and then pick up two here. Where out east, it's everyone's getting points. It's just, I think that number total is going to be like 96 or 97 to get in.
I think so. I mean, I think you almost have to get to 100 to make sure you're in.
Of course.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, because before the year, if I told you, all six spots in both wildcard teams, you need 100 to feel confident. Not even 100% confident, but I think if you get to 100, you're in.
Right.
But for the Leafs to do that, they need 32 points over their final 24 games, which is not inconceivable.
No.
Absolutely, it's doable.
It's a winning record.
You've got to be consistent. You play good teams.
Yeah.
Right? And that's been the issue with them is they're wildly inconsistent.
You're funny. I know we got to go, but November 9th to December 4th, Matthews had 3 goals in 13 games. And November 15th to December 17th, number 88, Nylander had 3 goals in 15 games. That's the only stretch where I've seen them statistically. Now, they had a bunch of assists and stuff, so they've still got points. But and it almost coincides with that, 3-5-2. It's kind of mixed in there.
Right.
But outside of that, they've been, very consistent and really good.
Yeah, the two of them had great years.
They haven't had a problem with
them. No, absolutely not. Ray Ferraro will join us just after 5. Connor Brown coming up to tee up the game tomorrow night, get his thoughts on being on both sides of the Battle of Ontario. We'll head down to spring training later this afternoon, catch up with Scott Mitchell and the NBA All-Star Game cooking down in Chicago. We'll touch on that as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Connor Brown will join us here in a moment from the Ottawa Senators, former Maple Leaf. And Cynthia Loist will join us later this hour from the social to try to hook us up a little bit with what we should have prepared tonight, Valentine's Day.
Feathers.
Nothing.
Well, we'll see what she has to say about that. You have nothing planned.
Are you kidding me?
Nothing planned.
I'm not even seeing my wife tonight.
Why not? You're going up north?
That's right, and she's coming tomorrow. I got a nice Valentine's Day card today.
All right.
I think it's just a made-up holiday.
Well, it is. It's a Hallmark holiday. For sure it is, but...
It's a phony holiday, and it's a farce.
Well, it's not a holiday.
No.
Well, right? It's a cash grab.
In a lot of ways, yeah.
Like what? I mean,
me and my wife go out for a nice dinner every week. Why do we need Valentine's Day to celebrate a nice dinner?
Well, I guess you don't then.
You want cheesy roses and a piece of chocolate?
All right.
Get you that any day of the week.
Well, we'll see what Cynthia has to say.
I'll say that to Cynthia.
Okay.
No, she's gonna like. You want to talk about a cam? What yesterday went on? A camel clutch? Or what was
the RKO? The Randy Orton RKO.
Well, I asked Paul Maurice a question. This guy goes. Oh, and I wanted to just smash his forehead off of the desk.
Well,
was it bad timing? Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was.
You were going to have a follow-up.
He offered up something in his previous answer.
That you wanted to not.
That I wanted to just, see if I could get a little bit more out of that.
We had 7 minutes with the guy.
Yeah, what's your point? Yeah, but it's not like I didn't put my hand up. Then you put your... We were doing the hand up routine.
Yeah.
So anyway. I could argue that I should...
At the end of the day, it had to be me or you, because the other pigeon that was here, he didn't say one word the whole show.
No, Jonas didn't say a lot.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
All right, Connor Brown will join us here in a moment, but XFL has some more breaking news courtesy of the XFL beat. This dude is all over it, XFL's brother. It's not even week two.
XFL.
It's week two this weekend. All right, so we've already had a defensive coordinator fired, and I believe we have a big trade in the works. Is that what's happening here, XFL?
That is what my sources are telling me. I am being told that the LA Wildcats have traded their defensive captain and former LSU linebacker Anthony Johnson to the DC Defenders for cornerback Bradley Silv, former corner from Alabama. So big trade happening even just ahead of week two. So,
crazy, man.
Are these guys like former pros, or who the hell are these guys?
Most of them.
Like, did they just go to university and then they're like.
Most of them are practice squad guys.
Oh.
So they were played on the practice squad in the NFL, and then they were probably stars back in college. Anthony Johnson was actually a pretty decent player at LSU.
Yeah, LSU is a huge program. I mean, so you're telling me Pepper Johnson and Anthony Johnson are both out between week one and week two, the LA Wildcats. Of the XFL.
They run by Mark Davis? Like, who's running this?
No kidding. Firing guys and trading their defensive captain in between week one and week two.
Well, let's see if the team has a response.
Well, I hope they do. Do you like them this weekend, XFL, or what?
I don't, to be honest. Uh-oh. They got the Dallas Renegades, who are starting their star quarterback, Landry Jones, who was a quarterback in the NFL, had starts, played with the Steelers. So he's going to be making his XFL debut, and... I think he'll got something up his sleeve for the Wildcats.
You just prepared a little rundown of the XFL games this weekend, and you around, I don't know, before we get out of this show, we'll get your thoughts and predictions as far as matchups.
Sounds good.
I like that idea.
That is XFL from the booth.
XFL, our XFL correspondent. Sources are telling him throughout the XFL.
He's dialed in.
That's how connected he is. He's the Bobby Mack of XFL News.
Yes, he is.
All right. Your boy Tiger had a tough day today, huh?
Did he miss the cut?
No, he's plus two. He's even par. I think he'll make the cut. The cut line's plus one.
He just chopping it around or what?
But now he's got to waste his weekend in L.A. and he's not going to win.
A crappy group at a crappy time.
Yeah.
Everyone will still be watching him. It's the weirdest thing when he's like irrelevant to the tournament. No one follows the leaders.
Yeah, nobody cares about the leader. Like, Kuchar's right there. Patrick Reed's sitting atop the leaderboard
nobody
or close
cares.
To it. Nobody will care. Those are, like, legitimate, you know, like, Ryder Cup-type players, and nobody cares. They'll be teeing off at 2:30,
yeah.
And everyone will be off the course. Everyone will have left. Tiger will tee off at 8:30 tomorrow, and everyone will leave by, like, 2 o'clock.
Well, they'll all have their cleats on.
That's the one thing, and our boss is going to just hate me for saying this because he's the biggest Tiger fan. When he's that far out of it, if the leaders are 9-10 under par and this guy's even or plus one, you can't show every shot.
They will. I guarantee
you can't. He moves the needle.
I get it, but not when he's not going to win the tournament.
Yeah, he won't even be close to winning the tournament.
And they'll show every shot. It's like, this guy's plus five. Here's his approach shot in a par four.
Yeah.
Who cares?
I wonder if he still, you know, is craving that type of attention. Or if it were up to him, he'd say, just leave me alone. Like, I'm not playing well this weekend. I'm chopping it up.
Have you ever seen that guy walk around a golf course? He knows that every single person in the crowd is watching his every single move.
Yeah.
And he gets off on it. He loves it.
Well, I mean, it's all he's ever known.
Yeah.
But since that's what I'm saying. Like, if you know, whoever's got the rights this weekend, CBS, let's say.
It is.
Okay, and they go to him, and they wouldn't even have to do this, but if they just, afterwards he found out, they didn't show you do anything. Do you think he would have a problem with that?
No, he would say, why would they? I wasn't in contention.
But then that's my whole point.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he's asking for all the attention. People get mad at Tiger.
It's not his fault.
It's not his fault.
I'm like, not mad at Tiger either. I'm just saying, when he's plus five and he's 10 shots back, he's not winning.
So no, he's not going to win.
He's up a little bit.
Trunk slammer. If he was a trunk slammer.
He's pretty close to it. I mean, he's really not that far off. He's almost going to miss the cut. Like, unless the cut line moves significantly between now and the end of the afternoon.
And anybody we know is going to get the trunk slam?
Nick Taylor, I think, is at plus two. So he is currently close on the other side of the cut line, probably starting his engine.
Is Wiersey in the
No, Wiersey's
tournament?
Not. Wiersey doesn't play in a ton of tournaments.
He fires up the Masters.
He shows up for the Masters. He loves a par three on the Wednesday at the
Masters.
Drives
down there.
Drives down, right down the coastline, I-95 south, feeling it.
Anyway. I want to see Mickelson's videos. Remember Mickelson driving in, the selfie video?
Which is great.
It's unreal.
It's actually great material.
It is.
Like, I'm going to hit bombs today, and I'm going to throw darts. And
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah. Because I think he really started that last year at Augusta. Wasn't that the first one when he was driving through the gates?
Yeah, he's driving the long drive, and he's saying, I'm going in, and I'm just going to
hit bombs and throw darts.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Phil.
Then he chirped Matt Kuchar.
Did he?
Yeah.
For being cheap, right?
Yeah.
Like
I'm
going to
make a bet with Matt Kuchar, and he's probably only going to pay me.
Yeah.
Because Matt Kuchar won a tournament, and he only gave the guy, the caddy, like $3,000. Because it was just some caddy out there in Puerto Rico or something, and people were like, come on, dude. And he ended up cutting him a check for like 50 grand.
Yeah, he circled back.
Well, he got guilted into that.
Oh, big time. Because, it was his caddy didn't show or whatever. He was short a caddy. And
he went up to the guy and said, look, you want to get on the bag this week? And he goes, if I win, I'll
pay
give you three or four grand.
Yeah.
And then people were like, come on, dude. You just won $1 million and you gave the guy $3,000?
Yeah. I don't know if we're going to get Connor Brown on now that he's an Ottawa senator. He's
big leaguing us.
Maybe he might be big leaguing us. Yeah, we're calling him and he's not answering. He's got bigger and better things to do. I don't know.
Well, they got a busy weekend. They're playing against the Leafs tomorrow, and then on Sunday, I'm flying in there to call a game at 6 o'clock.
A home and home.
Yes, they have a double home this weekend.
When was the last time the Leafs did that? Where they played back-to-back games at Scotiabank?
They played Dallas on Sunday night at 6 p.m.
Really? Yeah, because Dallas and Montreal tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
The Leafs have a back-to-back this week.
We get Buffalo. That's in Buffalo. Sounds like Freddie's
at Ottawa,
playing.
At
Freddie's
Buffalo.
Playing Sunday.
Yeah. So Jack Campbell.
Yeah.
Will play tomorrow night in Ottawa, and then Freddie's playing Sunday. Which I don't think there's anything to read into it. I mean, they're both games you got to get.
Yeah.
You know they're going to split it, so I don't think it really matters who starts in Ottawa or who starts
I
in
care less.
Buffalo.
Now, do the Leafs?
You just got to win both. You have to win both.
Do the Leafs have a recently have a pretty winning record in Buffalo, or is that those are grinds, aren't they?
Yeah, they're grinds. Buffalo even against Ottawa is a grind.
Well, you're right.
Like, Ottawa fights them hard.
Ottawa plays hard. Like, they won last night in Arizona. Like, Ottawa was the better team against Arizona last night. Like, they outplayed them.
Right.
They deserved the win.
Same thing when Ottawa lost to Toronto in overtime a couple of weeks ago.
Played very well.
Ottawa
Hutchinson
was better.
Very good.
Hutchinson played really well. Ottawa was the better team. So the Leafs better, like, the Leafs are not in a position
to sleepwalk
against anybody. I think they feel like they're that type of team. Like, oh, we'll just show up and this will be easy. They better not.
No.
Because if you blow one of these games.
Yeah. Who's Florida playing this week? They got Edmonton tomorrow, don't they? Florida does. And
yeah. I don't know if they have a back-to-back or not, but they've got Edmonton and, Edmonton.
Check their schedule.
Now, Cassian he definitely won't be playing tomorrow.
No, he's getting 5 to 7 games. Like, repeat offender. The guy just got suspended 2 weeks ago?
Right, yeah, for the Tkachuk stuff.
He deserves 5-7 for stupidity. That's just a dumb thing to do.
It is.
Yeah.
And I get it, you didn't cut him, you didn't cut his neck, you didn't cut his head, but the stupidity behind that, you have got to punish that guy.
Yeah,
there's just no other way around it. For stupidity alone.
Yeah, there's no debate.
You think
he's
going to pull that off in the NHL? It's just stupid.
I think it's just, that one is, it's just the amount of games. Like, even he's not flying in. It's an in-person. He's like, no.
He's down in Florida, too. He's like, I'm not leaving Florida to come to New York.
I'll do the call. And I'll get, I don't know. It's minimum 5 anyways for in-game or in-person hearing. I think it could be 6 or
more. I think he'll probably get that. I would set a standard if I was the NHL. If you kick someone, if you spit on somebody.
Like a dime?
Yeah, I would start at 10, and then you convince me why it shouldn't be 10.
Right.
Right? Like, that's how I would do it. Like, no one can claim ignorance when they spit on someone or kick somebody.
Right.
And same if it's a racial slur, a homophobic slur, it's 10 games immediately, and then you try to convince me,
right,
Bettman or the arbiter or whatever it is, why it should be less or why it should be off the books.
Yeah.
That would make it easy. Then there isn't anyone. Like, it's almost like there's a premeditated attack that people are holding off on and waiting for the league to come back and say 5 games for Cassie, and then you know you're going to get people yelling, how is that not 8 or 10 or 12? If you put a standard number in place, and then maybe you work
back
from
there. Bench.
Yeah, exactly. You come off the bench and join a fight or whatever, it's 10 automatically. It's very black or white.
Yeah.
It should be the same thing. If you kick somebody and you know you kicked them, 10 games, sorry.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to sympathize for you that you're in a playoff race and your team needs you. It's stupid.
It's a dumb play.
It's such a dumb play.
I don't think it's indefensible. It's just, he's going to get a whack of games. Whatever the number is, people, the soapbox people will still be upset with the number. They're always going to be that. And, you know, ultimately, it's you move on from it. He's going to get clipped. So, you know, Edmonton's going to play shorthanded with another top 6 forward out of the lineup because McDavid's not there.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate.
All right, I think Connor Brown is on the line.
Really?
Well,
friend of the show. But
I don't know.
Now he's a big
former
Ottawa
friend of the
former
show.
Really? Friend. Now former he's friend. In Ottawa. We got to call him 25 times.
Yeah.
Here's Connor Brown from the Ottawa Senators. What's going on out there in Ottawa, Connor?
What's going on, boys? How are we?
We're doing okay, good, man. Good. Do they call you Brown Cow in Ottawa, or did you find a way to get rid of that nickname?
No, that one died with the trade.
Yeah. That one. Did you like that nickname, or did that bother you?
No, not really.
So they just kind of simplified and went to Brownie in Ottawa, that's it?
Yeah, they just went to Brownie.
Okay. That works. So what's it like out there? I mean, you've been on both sides of the Battle of Ontario. I'm sure during your career you may not have a chance to appreciate that, but it's a rarity. Do you feel like once everything is said and done, 10, 15, 20 years down the road, you'll appreciate being on both sides of that battle?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, I think it's two teams that are in two completely different scenarios. You know, us with, a lot of young guys trying to get young guys minutes and developing guys, you know, trying to build a culture here, much like Toronto was there when we first kind of my first kind of couple games. So it's been different. I've enjoyed obviously the playing time and the guys and the team and the city, and so all that's been great.
Did it help your transition having Hainsey and Zaitsev and Ennis and DJ behind the bench, you know, starting their journey in Ottawa with you at the same time?
Big time, yeah, obviously. I think you kind of know what you're getting into when you know a couple guys making the trip over, so I think that helped a lot. I mean, originally, but once you get settled in, you know all the guys, so it doesn't take too long. It takes one road trip and then it's all good.
Brownie, all the times I played in Ottawa, I always wondered, where do guys live? Like, do you live downtown Ottawa or do you live out by the rink?
Well, I live in Westboro, a little part of Ottawa called Westboro. It's like between Kanata and downtown, so it's like, say, like the Kingsway, something like that.
Okay.
Got it. Yeah. I like that area. Yeah. I live there.
It's a good area.
Yeah. There you go.
The Kingsway, right now in Ottawa.
That's right. That's right.
There
it's
you
kind
go.
Of similar.
Okay. With Connor Brown of the Ottawa Senators.
And just walk us through, obviously, when you talk about two different organizations in two different spots. When you think of the Ottawa Senators, everyone talks about Thomas Chabot, but is there anybody that, you know, you can tell our listeners to watch tomorrow night, maybe a good young player that doesn't get the press or the fanfare that may be an up-and-comer, whether it's a Batherson or somebody like that?
Well, you know, there's obviously that, you know, Brady Tkachuk, I think, is going to be a force in, you know, in the league for a long time, just the way he plays. But like I was going to say is that Drake Batherson, obviously, you know, he tore it up in the minors for a couple of years. And, you know, at the beginning of the year, he didn't have a great start, went down, did well again. And ever since he's been back up, he's kind of similarly turned our power play around. And, you know, he's getting better and better, more and more confident. Just a great kid, too. He's a happy guy, a Maritimer, good guy.
You mentioned Brady. Is he a guy that, you know, he's got a great personality. Obviously, I'm around the team a little bit, just watching nightly. But, you know, is he a guy where you're sitting on the bench and you're like, this guy's dragging us into another war here where it's maybe a quieter night or a quieter shift?
No, not usually. He's usually bringing it upon himself. And, I mean, he's not doing – I mean, we also got a lot of guys in Ottawa that can hold their own. So, you know, when it gets like that, we usually have the upper hand in that department. Guys like Barrow and Borowiecki and Sabourin and guys that can hold their own. So, you know, sometimes that works in our favor.
With Connor Brown, Leafs Ottawa tomorrow night in Ottawa, what kind of atmosphere would you expect tomorrow night in the rink?
Well, this is our first game. This is my first game playing for the Sens, you know, in Ottawa here. So I remember, you know, there's a lot of blue and white when I was on the Leafs. So hopefully there's a little less tomorrow.
Yeah, I wouldn't bank on that, but we'll find out.
Well,
yeah,
they travel well. Tickets are probably a little cheaper than they are in Toronto.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No question about that. Well, best of luck tomorrow night, throughout the weekend, the rest of the year. Always great catching up with you. Thank you for doing this.
All right, thanks, boys. See ya.
There he is, Connor Brown of the Ottawa Senators.
Still sounds weird to say it.
Yeah, he was at Marley for a while, and then
friend of Toronto, the show,
friend of the
Toronto
show.
Boy,
he's from Toronto,
born and bred, all of that.
Yeah, it was a good Leaf, a big part of that team that finally got back to the playoffs. And
yeah, that is where he's legitimately like a cap. What is that called? Like casualty.
Yeah, he's a cap casualty.
I used to love when Mike Babcock would comment on a player and then be like, what do you think? And he'd be like, well, he works out with Brown and Hyman. Like, that was...
Well, that's the gold standard, right?
Yeah, it was the gold standard.
Well, he works out with Brown and Hyman. He's always in the rink with Brown and Hyman. Yeah. That was like...
Those were his two favorite players.
That was the ultimate pumping of tires for Mike Babcock. Yeah.
I guarantee you he was so mad when they threw Brown into the trade. Not threw him in, but when Brown had to be included in the Zaitsev deal. Because exactly. Ottawa wanted Brown.
For sure.
You know, they're like, that's the guy we're taking. That's
you
who
want
we want.
A guy like that.
And you should. If you're taking on a bigger contract, obviously you want to get a player that is legitimate and can
had a great season
bring
too.
Something. And that's exactly what Connor Brown's been doing. Cynthia Loist will join us to put the two of you in your place.
Oh, all of a sudden,
oh, I've got
lover
big
boy
tonight.
Over here.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I got big plans for
you have
Valentine's
nothing.
Day.
You have Swiss Chalet. That's it. That's
actually exactly what I think is going to end up happening. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst in the next hour. Scott Mitchell from Dunedin, Florida, just after 6 o'clock. It's Valentine's Day. Wonder what Reese McGuire does on Valentine's Day.
Why?
Well, would he, like, rent a limousine?
Better be different than what he's been up to.
I hope he's avoiding parking lots on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, yes. He needs
something else.
Yeah, he's got to switch up that routine.
Yeah, he needs a different routine.
Yes.
We'll put it that way. We'll see if Scott Mitchell can tell us about that.
I hope so.
You see the?
We don't need the breakdown of it. We just need some information.
Well, the front page of the Sun, did you see it today? It was a couple of days late.
No. Carjacking?
Carjacking.
Oh, my God.
Which is, it's brilliant, but it's like, it's too late, man. That should have been yesterday.
Yeah, you're right.
Anyway, all right, we're wasting Cynthia's time here.
Exactly.
Like, it's Valentine's Day for her as well. You think she wants to be listening to us, three idiots, talk about some guy in the Jays doing stupid stuff?
We need some advice. That's what we need.
You two need advice.
No, I think
we should. I know what's up.
Okay.
All right. You can see her on the social. The author of the book, Find Your Pleasure, here is Cynthia Loist. Cynthia, happy Valentine's Day.
You too. Yes. I want to hear what your plans are.
Yeah. Go ahead, Brian. Why don't you enlighten Cynthia with this brilliant plan of yours?
We're going to order some food.
Okay.
And have some wine and put the kids to sleep and chill out. I mean, I think that is more than enough, personally. Would you disagree or agree with that, Cynthia?
I would give that probably like a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
Wow. It's not terrible. It's just, it's a little bit like, it wouldn't take much to take that to a 10 out of 10.
Okay, like yeah. What? What would
Baby
you suggest?
Babysitter, maybe a nice car service to a nice restaurant.
Yes.
That's what ding, would dial it up ding, a notch.
Ding, 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 ding.
Okay.
I mean, I think the thing is there is a lot of pressure on this day, and don't get me wrong, I do find in many cases it is a kind of commercialized, meaningless sort of thing. But having said that, you kind of can't go wrong if you do take it a little bit seriously, and it will pay in dividends. So I think one of the things is that your idea is fine, but if you wanted to up the notch a little bit, is just even think about doing something like a book of IOUs, right? Like a little kind of book that tells, you know, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z on the date that you choose. It's a little added creative, like, something. And it can, you know, it can spice things up as well. It'd be like, I owe you a massage on such and such day or the day that you choose. I owe you a foot rub or I owe you a night off from the kids. Like, again, just takes a little bit of creativity and your handwritten notes to do that.
Right. What if it's a small booklet that says, I'm going golfing on this day and that day and this day?
Well, you know what? I actually will say, I'm not going to crap all over that idea, because I will say that men do often get ignored in the Valentine's thing. There's a stereotype
right.
out there that
right.
men don't care. This is a day for just for women. And so I actually think that women, we should think about it more, because would any of you, you'd probably like something a little bit special as well, I'm guessing?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, of course. We're
impossible.
Not, we can't be forgotten in this
right?
whole thing.
Right.
Well, I mean, it's funny because I normally don't really do too much. We're also going out for dinner tonight, but I actually took it upon myself now, just before I'm talking to you guys, to run out and grab a couple things that I think are going to be extra special tonight for both of my boys, my partner and my son. I'm just going to say also, though, to go back to your lady partners, what if you took the night to focus sort of on her pleasure? Like, and I don't mean necessarily in the bedroom, although maybe, but just kind of being a little bit extra special, like maybe doing the thing of like making her dinner or drawing her a bath, like something like that. Like, is this on your radar at all?
No.
Not really. It wasn't conversation.
My wife usually falls asleep on the couch at about 9 o'clock. I'll just let her sleep right through till 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Well,
is that a gem?
That's what I was going to ask you. What, like, we're from 44 to 35. Like, do you not think this is kind of like a 20-something-year-old holiday? Because a lot of the friends that I know, people my age, they're like, we don't really celebrate Valentine's Day. It's kind of one of those things you do in your 20s. You pay $100 and go to a cheesy dinner. And
yeah, no one wants to do that at past 20. You're right. I do think you're right in that way. I think if you've been in long-term relationships, it does start to recede to the background, because most people will say they would much prefer little gestures all year long than some big blowout on the day of. But I think that's worth thinking about. It's like, you will get more if you think on a more regular basis about doing sort of what is known as the emotional labor component. It's that stuff that nobody likes to do. It's the kids' doctor's schedules. It's remembering who in your household, do any of you have kids?
Yes.
Yeah, we all have kids.
Who remembered to pick up the Valentine's cards for their class?
I didn't.
It was my wife, definitely.
My point is made, okay?
Yeah.
So the thing is there's all kinds of little tiny things, classroom stuff, bake sale crap, doctor schedules, that women kind of bear the brunt of still in heterosexual relationships. So if you guys can all commit, you can tell me today, you're on the radio, so everyone's going to listen and hold you accountable. Can you take on some more of the stuff like that in the year ahead?
Yeah, I think I probably could, but here's the thing. Like, without my wife being here to, I guess, defend herself in this nature, but she always wants to do that. That's my impression. I mean, she's always like, she doesn't trust me to do it anyway. Like, trust me to put together something for my kids' classroom. She would never allow that to happen.
Yeah, because any time you make an attempt, they're like, this is all wrong. They wouldn't like this. So you're like, screw it. I'm not doing it.
I hear
exactly.
you. And I actually think women do need to, like, own up to the fact that we often do kind of, like, say, this is our domain and we don't really trust you to do this. But I would love for you, because she's not here on this call, to ask her when you get home.
All right.
Say, hey, babe, what would you think if I actually tried to take over some of this stuff? She may initially be like, no. But if you were like met her with confidence and said, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, how does that sound? Like, you'd have to do your research and figure out what it is. I don't know what we're talking about here exactly, but if it was the Valentine's cards, anybody can pick up silly Valentine's cards for the kids' class. Those kids don't care. They don't know. But it matters to some degree. So if you said, I'm going to go Shoppers today and I'm going to pick them up for you for the classroom,
All right. 2021. Lock it in.
There you go.
I think you got to just throw these things. Now, if you've set the bar so low, then anything is basically a bonus, correct? Like, I used to hand out a card, and I would do this on purpose. Just sign my name and number at the bottom. That was it. No words, no
like your
nothing.
Hockey signature.
Jamie McLennan, 29.
You put your last name on it, too, in case
yes,
you forgot?
I would always do that, just to be a dink. Like I it was kind of like a funny thing, but we had the discussion yesterday, and she's like, don't even bother. And I said, okay, fair enough.
Like, that's Jamie, are you doing anything?
Like, I will say this. I said I'm going to do nothing. It's almost like Christmas. Let's give it to the kids. Let's give it to everyone
right.
else.
Yep.
But I did throw a little bit of chocolate and some flowers on the counter before I left for work today.
Okay, that is sweet. That is good.
But I actually bought for my daughter, too, because I think my daughter would appreciate it more.
Yeah.
Don't you think, a 7-year-old?
I love that, and I think that's really sweet as well, and I agree. The one last thing I will put in the back of your mind, it doesn't have to be a gift for today, but something that every woman will appreciate at some point in time in the year is a treat of being given an overnight hotel stay by herself.
Yeah.
Wow.
And there's not a woman out there that I have met thus far who wouldn't be delighted to be told, listen, to be announced, whatever day you decide, whatever Saturday in the future, I'm going to put you up in a hotel of your choice for the night within this budget.
Yeah, exactly. A Hotel 6. Lock it in.
We're out of time.
All right, Cynthia, we always appreciate you finding time for us. You can see her on the social. The book is Find Your Pleasure. You can find her on Twitter as well. Thank you for the advice. We'll try to adhere to it. Moving
Thank you.
Forward.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, you too. There she is. Thanks. Cynthia Loist hooking us up. There we go. We got some tips for the boys here.
Yeah, exactly.
Al's brother's taking notes and the grappler and Moles. And
yeah. Al's brother did not listen to one word she just said.
He's on the phone about some XFL scoops.
Exactly.
All right, Ray Ferraro in the next hour. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
This summer, give your child an experience of a lifetime at Muskoka Woods. This overnight summer camp is a place like no other. At Muskoka Woods, you choose your own adventure, featuring over 60 summer arts and athletics activities to choose from. Water sports, media arts, high ropes courses, and so much more. Staff from around the world will ensure your kids learn new skills, make friends, and create memories that will last a lifetime. Muskoka Woods on Lake Rosso, a summer camp experience like no other. Visit MuskokaWoods.com. You've been listening to Overdrive, powered by Muskoka Woods. This summer, let your child experience an overnight camp like no other. Let the adventures begin at MuskokaWoods.com.